Did I miss something?
Oh my God. Who are the production brothers?
I love that.
This is, we have a brand new intro, and Jen and I are actually paying attention to all the little new nuances. Welcome, everybody, to Motivation Monday. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling and Sales Manifesto. And I'm joined by my lovely wife.
Hello, I'm Jen Gluckow, author and founder of Sales in a New York Minute. Today is going to be an amazing episode.
Oh, yeah.
You are joining us for Motivation Monday live on Facebook, or perhaps you're listening to us on the feed on Sell or Die Podcast.
Whoa.
That's right, because we are the world's premier personal development and sales podcast.
Our numbers are growing, and so is the American economy. And I wonder if there's anything having to do with the other one. I think I have a feeling that because people have seen our podcast, that it's created this rise in the economy. We're now at 3.1 GNP, whatever that means. And which I think it means people are buying more Milky Ways, but I'm not buying any Milky Ways because I am on a diet.
That's right. You're on like a health kick. So I just want to say hi to some of our favorite peeps. We've got Jeremy Klein here, who's watching from right around the corner somewhere, because we're in the Queen City, too.
Oh.
We've got Brandon from Des Moines, Keene, who says it's 12 a.m. there. I love that.
My God.
Amy, what's up? She's watching us from Philly last night. Listened to 2020 from Delisandro's. I'm assuming that's like some restaurant in Philly that you would know.
Yeah. anyone from Philly who's listening automatically gets major props from me, because as you know, we are turning the corner away from baseball and towards football. But if you could go to ESPN and watch Carson Wentz give a jersey to this kid who's been through 11 operations, little 10-year-old kid, I'm telling you, if you don't cry when you're looking at that, something's wrong with you. It shows you what kind of a human being Carson Wentz really is.
Yeah, for sure. I
can't hear you anymore,
What?
I don't hear you.
Oh, well, that's weird. Maybe you unplugged yourself.
Maybe I did.
But I can hear me. Look how long this cord is, guys. It's really fucking long. Okay.
Anyway.
So Rachel says hello from Kohler, Wisconsin. Hello, hello.
Oh, very famous town.
All right, so
home
today
of faucets and toilets.
Today is a very special Motivation Monday.
Right, we
can
have
you
a
hear
live
me
guest.
Now?
Huh?
Can you hear me now?
No. We have We have Randall Kenneth Jones with us, and he's a cool dude. He waits for people to come through Naples, Florida, and then snags them for an interview.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But he does it in a way where they actually want to talk to him, and he's really good at building enough rapport so that they like divulge stories that they might not have even told anywhere else.
Right.
Like, he's amazing.
He can suck a story out of people.
Yeah, but he's genuine and authentic, and like you want to tell him because you actually feel comfortable with him. He is a returning guest. He's been here before. We're going to link to his old episode if it's still available on iTunes. He's the host of the Jones.Show podcast. He's a speaker. He's an author.
Welcome.
Can you see me? Am I here?
Oh, no. I love
it. I can see you. Yeah, you look great. Wow, we have a whole new...
I love this. How cool is that?
I know, you can see us and you. This is really cool.
Yeah, the big question...
I got to tell you, Alexander the Airedale is part of the show a lot.
Yeah.
My dog may show up. I'm just telling you
All right, cool. We love dogs.
He sees the microphone and he typically thinks that's a sign, and he usually climbs up in my lap and he weighs 60 pounds. So he may show.
Cool.
Sounds like our Sunday nights when we go live in our private Facebook group, all of a sudden our dogs, Charlie needs attention.
I see more of your forehead this time than I saw last time.
I got more forehead this time than I did last time.
Oh, my
goodness. How have you been? Who have you interviewed who's come through Naples?
let's see who's come through recently. Wow. I'm trying to think of the people who have been here most recent. Cause I, with the podcast, which is where my focus has been.
Yeah.
I will do them over the phone. I will drive to them. I want to drive to Orlando to see you guys.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to put you all on the show.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that after this show for sure.
Yeah. Cause we want you to drive to Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hang out with us.
You know, for you, I will, since I am the 2017 Brown Noser of the Year award recipient.
Oh, cool.
I must now say.
I thought that was 2017 and 18.
No, only won in 2017.
Yeah, I only won. I was passed over in 2018 somehow, though I was brown nosing from afar. So if it helps me to get that again, I will drive all the way to North Carolina.
I will say they have planes now.
Right. Just say. They have airplanes now. Yeah. And we would pick you up at the airport, feed you half price, and get you back on your way to Naples. There's direct flights now.
So, yes. We invited you on our show today to talk about this really cool article that you wrote that we'll link to in the chat here. And it's about the importance of importance.
I love that.
Dun, dun, dun.
Most people don't recognize that they have a potential to be important. And they sit home and drink beer and watch Netflix like fucking idiots. And not bother to write or tweet something that might impact the world.
That is true.
Yeah. So there's a rumor, and this May Win You Brown Nosing Award of 2019.
Set it up.
I don't
Set
know.
It up, Jen. Set
but,
it up.
But there is a rumor out there that Jeffrey actually inspired your platform about the importance of importance. Is that true?
He did. Now, last time,
shit.
I think
that bastard. That bastard.
Last time, I think I talked. I sucked up for about 20 minutes, and I don't have that long this time, so I had to get the abbreviated version. Even though, if you link to the other podcast, you get to hear all of the brown nosing in its glory and its amazing.
We may have cut some of it out in editing, but yes, yeah. You will hear a lot of it.
In all seriousness, in 25-ish years ago, I started reading Jeffrey's books, discovered that he was funny and added value, never considered that business writing could be fun and funny and entertaining. I am only writing today because of him.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely because of him, because you showed me that's who I wanted to be. I didn't know that was possible.
I'm glad.
So
yeah, and you're a damn good writer, by the way, too.
You're a phenomenal writer, yeah. And it really is. You were a huge role model.
Who's brown-nosing who here?
Wait a second.
No, I mean, I'm going to tell it like it is. It's the truth. I like to look for the best in people, and when it comes to this man, it's all best in my book. So, cool. And I quite literally wrote a book. Ooh, what's that? That's a book. Oh. So
Show us the whole cover there.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get that better in here.
Hold it back closer to you.
It's called Show.
Show what? Put it in front of your face. Oh, but show me.
Keep going. Oh, yeah, there we go. Show me.
Cool.
Show
me. And you can go to Amazon, look up Randall Kenneth Jones or look up Show Me. The book will pop up. Click buy.
Yes, it will. I would not have written a word, Jeffrey, without you.
Cool.
I truly, because I never thought I was a writer. So it was something I discovered over the course of 10, 20 years. We maintained some contact. You agreed very graciously to talk to me when I started this whole series of interviews, started this process about 10 years ago. And I was saying, this is what I want to do. And you said to me at the time, what you're really focused on is the importance of importance, and you can steal that and use it. It's
well,
true.
There you damn go.
So talk to us about this concept and your meaning now of the importance of importance.
Where I'm really going, I got to tell you the truth, Jeffrey. I didn't understand it to the extent that you did 10 years ago. I've talked to like 150 people now between the book and the podcast. And I was always looking for the best in people. And I always knew intellectually to treat people as if they were important. And if people feel that they're valued and important, they give to you.
Yeah.
They just do. I didn't realize that.
They open up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. Yeah. They'll tell you more than they would normally tell you.
I didn't realize that everybody didn't know that.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it took me, that was just who I am. I naturally like people. I'm naturally inquisitive. I think the most important aspect of making someone feel important, though, is sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people know BS when they see it.
Yeah, I agree.
I totally agree. At the end of your article, you say, the question is, have you looked someone in the eye today and made them feel important? And I want to know, like, what are some of the things, besides being sincere, let's go a little bit deeper. How do, because that seems like that's like the foundational, like, if you're not sincere, you can't make them feel important anyway. But now that you are sincere, what's next? How do I really make them feel important?
Look them in the eye.
Mm. Yeah.
You said one thing. Now, here's another one that's huge for me. I'm not good at names when I first meet someone. I'm terrible at remembering.
I'm Jen. I'm Jen Glennow.
I'm Jeffrey, and I'm equally as hard as it's impossible for me. I concentrate on them, not their name.
Oh, real quick, Nicholas Sparks, the writer, I met him at an event on Marco with like 400 people, and he met 400 people, and 2 hours later said, "Hi, Randy."
Oh my God.
That out because that was freak. He said, "Freakish, huh?" I went, "Yeah, just a little bit." He said, "I don't know how he does it." He remembers names. I'm not one of those people.
Right.
But one of the tips we've been said is to use somebody's name anyway to reinforce that you're going to learn it. Well, when you use someone's name, they feel important.
It's true.
They feel valued.
They do.
Dale Carnegie quote from 1937.
Unless you use it in like a sort of demeaning way, which I don't like, because I've been on sales calls where people are pitching to me and they'll be like, "Well, Jennifer." I'm like, "Oh, you just said that how my mom says it when she's mad at me. I didn't really like that." You know, like
I tell you, I will notice too, Randall Kenneth Jones is my professional name, but I go by Randy.
Mm-hmm.
What I really notice is even on something like an email, and I give my big shout out for the year to Ginger Z from ABC News. She is just one of the most amazing people I've ever met in my entire life.
Hmm.
So you ask me who's been through Naples, lots of people, but wow, do I love Ginger Z. But one of the things I noticed was she got an email from Randall Kenneth Jones asking her to appear on my podcast. It's signed Randy. She notices things. And she wrote back to Randy.
Oh, I love that. I call you RKJ.
Yeah,
behind the scenes.
I actually prefer Randall. I don't know why. Because it's not a very common name.
Well, you can call me whatever you'd like.
Yeah, clearly. Brown noser.
Yeah, you can call me Stanley, and I'm good with that.
Exactly.
So, okay, I really want to get deeper on this because I think this is so important for every single salesperson out there. Because once you make your prospect feel important, you really open up, you allow them to open up, and you can create a much deeper relationship than if you didn't have that piece there. And so do you think that like mindset has anything to do with it?
Well, I have to say, let me actually go into a slightly different angle. I think preparation is everything.
Aha. Okay. Tell us more.
You know, and it's no different. I'm still selling people to talk to me. And I'm oftentimes selling a publicist, you know, I'm selling people to talk to me. So it's being prepared and letting them know, I know about you. I know who you are. I know what's valuable to you. I will tell you a very special moment I had preparing for the book.
Yeah.
I had gotten a yes to talk to Vanessa Williams, but at the end of that conversation, I knew enough about her to say, you know, I know, Vanessa, that you co-wrote your book with your mother. I know that your life really revolves around your mother. You want to celebrate her. You want to have people see her value and her importance. Do you mind if I call her? Well, I did. And I talked to Mrs. Williams for an hour the next day.
Cool. That's totally cool. That's
and
the way
I dare
to go.
Say that that I think distinguished me between Joe Average interviewer and somebody who really was prepared to have a discussion with Vanessa. She just, you could hear it in her voice. She lit up that I knew enough to ask about her mother.
I think that also goes back to caring. I mean, you cared way more than Joe Average interviewer.
At the risk of taking a little bit too much time, I'm a baseball fan. And my favorite baseball player of all time is Richie Allen from the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a wildcat who got into all kinds of trouble, traded to several teams. The best statistical player not in the Hall of Fame. And I got a chance to interview him at a sports card show where I literally stalked the owner and said, I need to talk to Richie Allen. He's my favorite player of all time. And the guy said, Richie Allen doesn't like to talk to people. I said, well, just give me a chance. And so he arranged this interview, and Richie Allen comes over, and you can see his like arms folded and that kind of crap. And I said, listen, go back to 1964 when you threw your shoulder out by pushing a car, and you came back 3 weeks later, and you hit a home run to the left of the clock in Connie Mack Stadium, which had never been done before. And somebody asked you after the game, how's the shoulder, Rich? And you said, about three quarters. So before we begin this interview, I need to tell you something. I fucking love you.
Aww.
And he gave me the nicest interview on the planet because not only did I make him feel important, I made him feel emotionally important and emotionally good. And I think that's what needs to be clarified to our listeners. You're making somebody feel important, but you're talking to them about their mom. You're talking to them about their success, about their life, and you add emotion to the importance.
And you, it's sincere. It's authentic. Oh, you want to know. I have to tell you, Jeffrey, you'll love this. I found out from a neighbor, and hopefully you'll know who this is. I find out that Mickey Lolich lives down the street from me.
Oh, cool.
He, as a pitcher, won, three different games in the World Series in 1968. The only reason I know that is before me and Alexander the dog walked down the street to introduce ourselves, because I said, I wonder if that's the man that always sits at the desk in his garage. I was right. It's the man who always sits in the desk in his garage. But, you know, I'm still the neighbor dude from the street with the dog. I was prepared to have the discussion.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so, I was prepared to introduce myself in a thoughtful way that said, I know who you are. I've known what you've done. Let me explain to you who I am. And in my case, I took the book because I don't want to overwhelm him with who
is. Just give him a book. When you give people a book, it makes them stop in their tracks.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we have some questions rolling in here for Randy. Make sure they're calling you Mr. Jones. I love it. And make sure you pop in some, if you have a question for him, make sure you pop it in right now before, you know,
before he
goes.
Yeah, exactly.
And so let's see what we've got. Ron Goodwin. Hey, Ron. Says, did Mr. Jones really have Siri on his podcast?
Oh, it's more than that. She's my best friend. Susan C. Bennett. No, it's Susan C. Bennett, the original voice of Siri. Google her. You can find her everywhere. I interviewed her for my book. We became really close, and she's the announcer and a recurring guest on my podcast. So the Siri is on my podcast every single
day.
That is so cool. Siri, play RKJ's podcast.
But she's not going to do shit when she's only announcing it. She can only do shit when you have one of those things in your house where they listen to you.
I do live shows, actually, the first Tuesday of every single month. We do a live show, and she's on that. And we have different people on, and it's on the Get Vocal, GETVOKL.com. And we do a live show with people that's just like this, that's streaming on Monday night, the first Tuesday, and she comes on that. Yeah, I try to get her out, Susan out, as much as I can.
I love that.
Does she live near you?
She's in Atlanta.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
Oh, wow. So when you drive up here to see us, you can have her meet in the middle. We're like in the middle.
It seems like one of those people came to a National Speakers Association event. I think it was the voice of the map lady.
Oh. Well,
Susan's a ridiculously great public speaker because the whole story of how she became Siri was she didn't know. I mean, the phone came out and her voice was on it and somebody called her and told her. And Susan, she's an introvert, said, I sat in a booth. What? Did not know what to do with that information. She got a fascinating story about being accidentally famous.
I sure hope she gets a royalty every time I ask Siri something. Yeah,
exactly. The one thing she should do with her accidental fame is milk it.
She finally got to the point where she did out herself as Siri.
Yeah, oh, cool.
That's so cool. Yeah.
It took her a couple of years to do it, though. That was hard. So
when you guys were talking about some sports thing or something,
yeah,
Jimmy said, Jen, you look so impressed. Thank you for calling me out. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Jeremy says, Pete Rose, another ex-Philly, is best statistical ball player, not in HOF.
That's true. The Pete Rose, in my mind, is already in the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
assholes are keeping him out.
I get it. Yeah. All right. Doug here. He says, it's really easy to go through the motions when communicating with clients and prospects. I have to force myself out of the motions and try to be comfortable/authentically personal. So let's talk about this concept of authenticity? And why do you think that people actually like start talking to someone and then all of a sudden lose their authenticity? And why is it that we have to, I know I'm asking you a lot of questions, but go out of our comfort zone to actually be more authentic? What's your take on that?
Yeah.
I think you've only got one you.
Right.
I mean, I think that's different when you're my age or Jeffrey's age. We kind of realize this is all we got. I do think it's harder for younger people because I've always said when you're in your 20s, there's two you. There's two different people. There's weekend you and there's Monday through Friday you. And they're not the same person.
Right.
They're not the same person at all. They are pretending to be somebody they saw at work. They are pretending in many cases, and it's a generalization and there's exceptions. They are pretending that eventually your personalities at home, at work, really need to merge into one. And unless I'm mistaken, Jeffrey Gittimer is pretty much the same all the time.
Yeah, but I'm conversational. And I think it's even how I write. I write like I speak.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
And the challenge for anybody out there is just be yourself. Dale Carnegie said it. In 1937, in two books, How to Win Friends and Influence People and How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. That's the underlying thread that runs through both of those books. And if you can't be yourself, who the hell are you? Because I don't want to see two different people.
But also, I think when you're interviewing someone or trying to meet with a prospect, they can feel if you're not yourself. They can feel if you're not being authentic.
They absolutely can. People know that. But I also have to say, being yourself doesn't give you the right to be an asshole. You know, I want everyone to be authentic, to be themselves. But you know what? The reason people like you and I are here is to hopefully help you be the best version of yourself.
Yeah. So now, politicians notwithstanding, they're all assholes.
Yeah.
Well, we have a really nice former politician on our stream right now, Mr. Michael Silverman.
Oh my God.
And next time he goes through Naples, you have to interview him because he is freaking awesome.
Mayor of Livingston, New Jersey.
Well, former mayor
of Livingston, New Jersey, and totally authentic fellow. Jen knew him very well from New York City, and in our stumbling conversations, found out that we both went to the same summer camp, be it 15 years apart.
It all started because I allowed him to sell me insurance.
Right. But think about this. You went to the same summer camp as a total stranger.
Is that crazy?
In Manhattan.
And they have like all these rituals and they like,
we
I
text
don't know,
each
they
other.
Have funny texts.
Yeah, camp talk.
Okay, but the takeaway here is he sold to you and you bought from him.
I trust him. I mean, I still buy. If he tells me, if he calls me up, don't do this, Michael, later today and says, Jen, I was thinking about it and you really need this other insurance, I'm going to say okay. Because I trust him.
If you trust
him.
The other person, you're going to say okay. And being conversational leads to trust. Being likable leads to
trust. He has established that he is important and knowledgeable, but he's also respected you and made you feel important as well.
That's right. I am important, but he has also made me feel that way. You are correct.
We have allowed him to give us information and we accept it.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so he says you only went 15 years apart. He's not sure about that, but you can discuss the timeline after the show.
All right, 20. And that's my final offer.
All right, so, okay, final question for Randy. Doug says, where is this? When you have someone on your podcast as a guest, how do you make them feel important?
I prepare them well. I send them information. They don't always, especially the famous people, don't always have time, but I send them information. I'm polite to their handler, their publicist. I try to make sure that they've got whatever they need in advance. I take, even if it's 1 or 2 minutes, I take 1 or 2 minutes to establish some sort of rapport. And you know what? And I think you all know this, even when you don't know them, you enter it as if you do. You enter it with a degree of familiarity and rapport. If not, you sound like strangers.
Mm.
And sometimes you have to just sort of assume, okay, I'm going to go for this, but I'm always prepared.
And do you, this is a follow-up question from Doug. Do you genuinely feel that the other person is important? Do you have to feel that way in order to make them feel important?
I think so. Okay. Okay. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yes,
we all have done it. We have all brown nosed.
No.
Who did not deserve to be brown-nosed. Not me. I have never done it, and I certainly have never, ever done it on this show. I have only brown-nosed people who are worthy of being a brown-nosed recipient. But no, we have all, as salespeople, said what we needed to say in order to achieve a goal. And so often, we've done it, you know, so often that goal is, for me, at least, when I've had to do it, I've said something to try to break through. Because there are those people who just, I like people. Yeah. If you don't buy from me, okay. I mean, I want you to buy from me, but I like people. And when you're standoffish, I have been known to say what I need to say to make you understand that, to break through to you, to get you to talk to me.
The fundamentals are so important here. Randall smiles. Randall has good information that he's prepared in advance. He asks intelligent questions, and he tries to connect emotionally with the other person. If you do those three or four things, you're going to win. Mm-hmm. You're going to be likable, affable, approachable, intellectual, and conversational.
And he shows up prepared.
Yeah.
That's exactly. The key. Like, you may not think they're important, but you still prepare for them. And then because you're prepared, you're able to pull out things about them that may feel important.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you, and I'll say this for the first time ever, my first time interviewing Erin Brockovich.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were just saying my first time.
Yeah.
I didn't know where we were going there.
But well, that's a very different show. we can go there. If Jeffrey wants to go there, we can.
Let's go with Erin Brockovich, that story. That sounds good.
Erin Brockovich was not my first time. Let's clarify that.
Okay.
She will love the fact that this came up. One of my dear friends now, my very first time interviewing her, this is the first time I've talked about this. She said to me, talk to me about her mother's death.
Whoa.
And she talked to me about holding her. Yeah, this is the type of, well, Erin and I are the same age. And we're from Midwestern college towns. We're the same person.
Yeah.
She's just got bigger balls than I do. She's a lot tougher than I am. Let's face it. There's things Erin would do that I would never do.
Yep.
But we bonded over age, we just hit it off immediately. But here she is telling me about her mother's death and describing it so beautifully and so eloquently as if her mother, I've never talked about this, if ever her mother achieved a goal. That moving, that dying was not the end, but it was a beginning. It was just so beautifully stated.
Wow.
And she said, you've never ever written about it. You've never talked about it. She goes, you can. She goes, why didn't you? And I said, because it felt like something Erin was telling Randy, not something Erin was telling Randy in an interview.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I have literally never talked. She told me, she goes, you know, you can talk about it. I'm proud of that. I'm proud that that meant something to you. It changed my view of life to have Erin talk about losing her mother. But that wasn't the end. It truly was the beginning. She made it. She won the race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And exactly. I'm completely fascinated with that. And I truly, this is the first time I've ever told the story. But cool. I just felt like Erin was telling me. And that's not the only time I haven't repeated something because I felt somebody was telling me, not the world.
I hear you.
All right. So we have one last question for you,
yeah.
Which is, Mr. Jones, when you are unprepared, how can you establish that rapport and make that person feel important, especially ambush introduction? Ooh.
Well, I mean, being unprepared is never a good thing. And I think we all know the answer to that. Questions, ask questions, ask questions, be inquisitive. I just want to know. So I am the guy that looks at the name tag in the elevator and says, who is that? What do you do? And yeah. I'm hopefully they've got a good elevator speech or a response to give to me. Mm-hmm. When you don't know, people love to talk about themselves. Yep. So if you don't know and you're unprepared, keep asking questions.
So what you're saying is make them feel important by genuinely wanting to know about who they are.
Yeah, yeah. I am, though, to be fair, I'm that guy that I go to a dinner party, and if I meet somebody and say, what do you do? You know, so what do you do? I mean, I actually want to know the answer.
Yeah.
I really do. I find how people choose to spend their careers fascinating. I've made a career out of being fascinated by what people do. But I have
cool.
to say, the other thing that came up recently, and I asked a friend of mine, because, you know, our own brands, we get confused. And my work as a speaker has grown so much, telling all these stories and everything. And I asked my friend Suzanne, I said, why am I different? And she, without hesitation, she said, because you don't just want to know what somebody does. You want to know why.
So you want to get to the emotion part of it. Like, we should all be doing with those customers that we're facing.
Yeah.
For you diehards that are listening out there, for your listener, diehards that are listening, there's one question you can ask anybody anytime that will immediately evoke emotion and get you somewhat connected. And the question is, hey, where did you grow up? And if I ask that question of you, I immediately know you're from the Midwest. I immediately know you're going to be more trusting than other people, because if you grew up in a big city, you don't trust anybody. And that's a challenge question that evokes emotion immediately and could create some kind of rapport. Could. But it's so non-confrontational. It's, you know, well, tell me about the last time you got fired from your job. That's not what I want to hear. I want to know, where did you grow up? Because you think about your siblings, you think about your parents, you think about the city, the farm, the house, whatever it was. And now I'm engaged in a conversation that has some emotion to it.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, that's me and Erin Brockovich. She's Lawrence, Kansas. I'm Columbia, Missouri. College towns 2 hours apart. We hate each other. I mean, we're rivals. I mean, we and that was part of our our report, too, was the attacking of the other one's alma mater.
Of course.
But, you know, that was one of the things I think immediately made us realize, oh, my God, we're so much alike.
That's so cool. All right. So, Randall, I hate to do this, but I know that we do have to say goodbye to you. We still have a lot more of the show to cover. So, diehards, don't go anywhere. Randall, where should people find you if they need more of you in their life?
Well, which of course they do. RandallKennethJones.com links you to the book, links you to my work as a quote unquote storyteller, because I do love to tell other people's stories and organization stories, links you to the information about my work as a speaker and a trainer. It's all there. RandallKennethJones.com.
All right, go follow him and we'll be right back.
I'm going to issue you a challenge. Stop being shallow, stop being phony, and stop being insincere in the very last words that you say to somebody. You have this great, meaningful conversation, and you're really engaged, and you go, okay, I got to go now. Okay, bye. Have a nice day. Have a nice rest of the day. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Have a nice rest of the day. And then what's tomorrow? Shit. No, you have to have something to say that's meaningful that the person remembers you by, because it's the last thing that you say. It's like giving a person a shit business card. Here's my shitty business card to prove I'm the greatest. No, I'm going to make certain that what I do to somebody else gives them something meaningful to think about. So instead of saying have a nice day, I'm going to say have a successful day. Or if I get out of an Uber, I'm going to say drive safely. Or enjoy yourself, or something that doesn't have a time on it. Stop telling me to have a nice fucking day, because I don't want to have a nice day. I want to have a great day. I want to have an unbelievable day. I want to have an unbelievable life, but you're shortening it to a day, like a fool. Tell me something that will impact me and that I can remember you by, or don't say a fucking thing. Was serious, wasn't it?
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that was
really
awesome.
Good.
He, you know, I didn't want to say this while he was here because I didn't want him to think I was brown nosing, but it's like acceptable now that he's gone.
Yeah.
He is important.
He's amazing. He's an
is
amazing guy.
Really insightful and thoughtful about the questions he asks and the stories he tries to uncover, because he genuinely cares. And that should set a standard for how every single one of you diehards is meeting with your clients, as if you're trying to really understand their story and really feel deep down that they are important and that you care about them. Because I don't know, I just freaking love him. That was awesome.
Before we interact with our Facebook friends, which we are going to be doing in just a second, I want to issue a personal apology to Anthony Iannarino. We were going to cover his list today.
Yes.
But we are running a little over because of Randall Kenneth Jones.
Yeah.
But we will hit his list of the most important metrics in sales next week on Monday.
That's guaranteed. Right. But we're not going anywhere. So no. stay there. Okay.
So who we got?
All right. Then? So we have Ronnie Goodwin. I love our peeps. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So Ronnie says, and this, let me just scroll back up to find it. How do I explain to a customer who placed an order and paid with a credit card late on Friday and then cancels half the order with a later email says boss didn't budget? I asked if I could speak to boss, met with, don't think that's a good idea. I just canceled the whole order. What is a professional and polite way to tell them to F off?
That's about it. the person who put the order in should have done it with more integrity. That's number one. Number two, maybe, Ron, you could have given a little more interaction with respect to, hey, thanks for your business. Tell me a little bit about your company so I have an understanding of how this order came about. I don't know what the value of the order was, but I'm assuming it's something significant. I would still try to get in touch with the boss.
I think that you should call them and just say, so first of all, I don't think you should tell them to F off just yet. Only because what if they have the potential to not just come through with some, you know, this order, half order or whatever, but then also refer you to other people? Like, what is their potential significance in your world? Okay. That's number one. Number two, so I'm questioning whether you really should cancel their whole order.
Yeah.
And number two, I was trying to see if he wrote anything back to that. I do think you should try to get in touch with the boss and just explain that this isn't how you do business. Like, the minute you get an order, you fit it into your schedule, you prioritize them, you really think about how you can care for them. And like, this just, you know, like, there, normally you would charge a cancellation fee. And so before we move forward, you are going to need to speak to the boss to confirm that this is really what they want, that this is really their budget, and that the person who arbitrarily placed this order is really choosing the best things that's going to have the best outcome for them.
Or the most impact. And I would do this. When I talk to the boss, I would say, hey, I apologize, but we almost missed an opportunity. And the opportunity is to make you feel like the most amazing customer on the planet, because that's what we specialize in here. We kiss asses. And maybe they're a Red Sox fan. Maybe they're a Yankees fan. You need to find out what side of the fence they're on in this world and then jump on their side of the fence for a little bit and make them feel good.
You're telling him to switch teams? I'm a Yankee fan, just FYI.
Or to feel important, just the way we just spoke about with Randall Kenneth Jones.
Yeah, I think, like, okay, cancel the order if you really can't get through to the boss, but I think you should reach out to the boss directly. Like, screw this person who arbitrarily placed a totally wrong order on your website. Just reach out to the boss of the company and say, hey, like, I have some questions about this order that was placed and wanted to confirm everything with you to make sure we're giving you the biggest impact for your book. I want to make sure that I really want to better understand your goals and what you're trying to achieve with these products so that we can make sure this is going to be exactly what you need. And just, like, go over that person's head, because that person's already dead to you in, like, a nice kind of friendly kind of way.
Yeah, and you go, just talk to the boss and say, listen, I know you placed an order for $5,000 and you reduced it to $2,500. And I always like to talk to the cheap bastard that made that happen. And so, hi. I think you should do it in a way that is light and humorous at its base so that the person feels okay about doing it. I don't want you to put them on the spot. Like, why'd you do that? You know, we're busy. We're a business. You can't be New England about it. You have to be normal.
Well, if he was New England about it, he would not change size of the fence if it was about baseball.
No, I understand. No, I understand that, Jenny. But I think that you're looking at a situation now where you don't know what the potential of this guy is.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to say, too. Yeah. Like, don't just be so done with them so fast.
Okay.
Okay. Else? So, you guys, I want to talk about something that happened last night.
Okay.
So last night,
Randall Kenneth Jones moment?
No, not like that. So last night, you and I went live in our 2020 Sales Vision Group and in our community, and it was really amazing.
It was
so cool. And some of you guys who are on here now, you can attest to that. Like, I see Vic just joined, and Rachel is here, and Amy was here. And it was just, like, so cool because there was so much engagement and so many questions, and it really just felt like a community where one guy, Greg, was, like, looking for a salesperson, and we had just seen someone earlier in the group who's looking for a sales job, and we tried to make that connection. And like, it's just becoming...
Other people were answering questions that were posed to us. It was really, it was very well done.
Yeah. So it just was such like, so heartwarming to me to see that level of interactivity and engagement in the group. And I just want you guys to know, like, currently the doors are closed. You can't actually join. But if you go to 2020salesvision.com, and we'll pin that in there, then you can join the wait list, and we'll let you know the next time that the community is open up for new members. Oh, man. So Ron says, how about have a good day? Yeah. Make sure you follow up with Jeffrey's video on that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Randall Kenneth Jones says, a Randall Kenneth Jones moment made me snort. Oh, Dominic, hey, he says it was a good session. Yeah, yeah, it was freaking awesome. And we've got Mark here and Wes here. We've got so many friends here. So make sure you say, hey, share this thing out on Facebook. We're about to share our leads. And this segment is all about the thing that happened in the past week or so that was like a lead source of inspiration for us. Something that has made us tick, something that's got us excited, something that like we literally probably have talked about at one of our dinner table conversations.
Yeah.
I love that we have a little intro like that. It's so awesome. All right. So Jeffrey, what's your lead?
My lead is not like your lead, Jenny Jen. My lead is all about what I tweeted this morning. And
what did you tweet?
I tweeted something that I think is very important to our sales group of people.
Okay.
The more you delegate the little things, the more time you have for the big things. People get bogged down in little shit all day long and don't have time to build a relationship with a customer that might end up with a referral, or try to call back a customer that you've recently made a delivery to find out what the outcome is, or because there are big things that deal with your with the success of your career, and there's little things that you could delegate to other people, and you all know what those little things are. It might be as little as picking up your shirts from the cleaners, or going out to lunch with somebody that doesn't matter, which I get chastised for all the time, or making certain that you're doing things for your career that matter, not what's urgent, rather what's important.
So say that quote one more time so we really get it.
The more you delegate the little things, the more time you have for the big things. Now, salespeople will bitch at me all the time saying they have too much paperwork to do and they don't have time to sell. So I'm going to give you a three-word answer to that that could change your life, assuming you're not a cheap bastard. Hire an admin.
Upwork.com.
And you can do it virtually. You can hire somebody from
online
a foreign
jobs.
Country.
Onlinejobs.ph.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of places that you can go that will do all of your administrative work if you just train them how to do it for an hour. You're going to win. And this is going to free, you're going to buy back your time.
So like, I just want to talk about this because I think this is, Jeffrey, a really good quote and really inspiring. And I agree with you about hiring admins and doing all that. Like for like $10 a week, maybe 30 if you splurge, you could literally get help from someone to so that you can amplify the things that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Now, but you know, I want to take this a step further, okay? Like I delegate everything I possibly can, even in our personal lives. So like,
Wait, what? You delegate everything?
And I possibly can.
We don't have a video
was
of
the
that.
Key,
I apologize.
Keywords here. Keywords.
I'm just making sure.
All right. I could delegate more in the workplace, and I'm working on that.
Okay.
And so let me talk to you about a delegation system that I've created. So, because Jeffrey, I thought this was very inspiring of you. For example, I no longer buy toilet paper or paper towels. Do you know why? I've delegated
Amazon.
I've delegated that job to Amazon. Okay. So I am on a subscribe and save plan. I don't have to schlep it. I don't like schlepping things. I don't like putting them in the trunk. I don't like putting them upstairs, then having to put them away. I just have one job and that's put it away. Okay. Because it automatically shows up. They know when I'm going to be empty on them. They know when I'm going to start running out.
You put it away or Elizabeth puts it away?
Well, I delegate that too. Okay. So it's all about the delegation. Okay. So that you can focus on the bigger things. But like, let's say you know you need something like, your family likes ketchup and you eat ketchup and you need ketchup once a month or something. Just put it on a plan and have it show up to your door. Guys, why are you wasting time going to the supermarket, going to Target, going to all these places to pick up 16 different items when they could just show up whenever you need them? Just a thought.
So that's a challenge. Make a list of the things that you do that you wish you didn't have to do. See how much you can delegate to an admin or to an automatic reship. And play the game. Try to buy back an hour of your time a week.
Yeah, I guess my challenge is just like, it's not just about delegating work stuff. Like, think about like things in your personal life that you can delegate too. That's all. All right, so I want to get to my lead, which is... So on Sunday, I went to the pet store. I know that's a surprise, but we were actually out of food. I really had to go. And the food I buy is very heavy. So she puts it in the bag. She bags it up. I got some treats. And I had this impulse buy. I bought a bed because it was on sale. And for the dogs. And so she looks at me, the cashier looks at me. I've never met her before. I know all the people in the pet store, but I've never met this woman before. She's new. And she looks at me and she says, okay, so I'll take the bed to the car and I'll carry these heavy bags. You take this one. Like, just like a normal, friendly conversation. It was an assumptive statement. It was not like at our Harris Teeter, do you want help with these to your car? It was, I'm going to take this out with you. And I thought that was so cool because on the way out, we were able to have a really friendly conversation. The stakes were lowered because we were not in her place of business. It was like more like a friendly thing than anything. And we were able to build a deeper relationship. So, for example, I said, this is my store. I've never seen you here. What's up? Who are you? Are you new? You know, and then she started telling me all about who she was and how she got there. And I genuinely wanted to know. And then I said, it's interesting how you said to me that you were just going to take my stuff out to the car. What if I had said no? And she said, oh, I would ask you two more times. We have to get three no's before we don't help you to the car.
Totally cool. But
how cool.
The thing that I think is important here is when that employee of the store, regardless of their hierarchy, whether the manager of the store or the inventory guy in the warehouse, you have an opportunity as an employee to chit-chat with that customer, build some kind of relationship with them. It's obviously about a pet or a dog or a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know a little bit more, like, how well do your dogs love this food? Is this the kind of stuff that you feed them all the time? How long have you been using it? Mm-hmm. What's been the impact? Do they scarf it up or do they leave it laying around? And so you can make a very favorable impression with someone just by asking a couple of questions about the thing you have in common.
Yes, and I want to take this one step deeper because is this not just about if you work in retail, helping them carry it out to the car? I want you to use this analogy for yourself for whatever it is you sell. How do you continue the conversation after the cash register is closed? How do you continue the conversation after the transaction has been made? Because that's when you have earned your right to really create that deep relationship. I've already bought from her, so she's not trying to like butter me up or brown nose me to become an even better customer. I've already purchased, so there's like no intentions.
You
have
the coupons to prove it.
Yeah, the more you buy, the more you save. Mm. Someone here said, "How come you haven't delegated that yet?" And honestly, like I should.
No, we take the dogs.
I know I should. But it's like my one thing that I really love doing because I love building a relationship with these peeps and talking about our dogs.
Can we say the name of the store?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so it's Pet People.
Mm-hmm.
However, the other day, and this is a shout out to George Lennon, we went to Pet Supplies Plus and we took both the dogs with us. and they put all these bones and treats on the very bottom where the dogs can kind of go and drag them out and eat them. It's brilliant.
It's dog level.
Brilliant merchandising. And I think that it's important to have an understanding of where do you place things that your customers will find easiest to buy.
Mm.
Now, if you go to
a
grocery store.
That's a whole other lead. I love that.
If it's a grocery store, I can promise you that they don't sell Cheerios. They sell space. And Cheerios pays heavily for the space that's right at eye level.
But pay attention what's at Gabrielle 10-year-old level versus what's at our eye level.
Right.
Because it's very different and purposeful.
I think that if you're, especially, people love their pets, man. They think of them as children.
They're not?
Oh, exactly. And when you have the right merchandise and it's reasonably priced, you know, you don't have to fight the internet. This is, we go there, we go to a pet store because it's kind of fun to go with your dog.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more important is, do we have rapport with the people that are there, or are they just transactional? And the more rapport you can have with them, the more you want to go back.
Right. I show up. I don't delegate it because I love the people and I love the relationship that I've built over the past year and a half with the people in the store. And so now let's turn that back to you and why this matters to you. And that's, how are you building relationships? Number one,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing after the register closes? Number mm-hmm. two, and what are you doing after the transaction is completely done? So for example, the thing that the product is in my car. Okay, now what? How do they stay top of mind? Well, you know what they do? They send me a card, literally, in the mail, signed by all of the staff, just to say hey, and then I'm like, they're so happy I'm in their VIP customer club, and they send me a $5 off coupon. Like, do you think that brings me back into the store? Of course. So all of the things that they're doing are things that I'm mentioning because you can learn from. So like, whether you're a retail store owner or you're like Ron Goodman and you're selling promotion, or Amy and you're selling promotional products, what are you doing after the sale has been made to further and deepen that relationship? And what are you doing after they get their product to stay top of mind? That's your challenge to think about this week.
Thank you, Jen Gluckow. You hell of a broad you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, guys, we have an amazing week coming up. We got to tell you about it really, really fast. Tomorrow we have Casey Graham. He's the CEO of Gravy. He gets you that gravy, because it always costs more to replace a customer than to keep them. So there's lots of challenges in keeping your clients loyal and, you know, on the books. And so he's going to talk about, how do you create that customer loyalty that's unbreakable? You can do that if you subscribe and listen to the show tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, OMG, it's another Woman Crush Wednesday episode. And this time it's with Jennifer Jade. She is freaking phenomenal. If you want to find out people who inspire me, she is one of them, okay? She was a career overachiever her whole life until she felt literally a tap on her shoulder telling her it was time to do something else. And if you want to know what that something else was, I guess you're going to have to listen to Woman Crush Wednesday. But she's freaking phenomenal, you guys. And then on Thursday, Scott Lee stops by. He had a near-death experience with an illness that led him to discover sales and startups, where he achieved success using the dedication process and drive to compete that he had honed in as a sports athlete. And so he's going to talk about his fight to bring back his health. He's going to talk about his drive to success. You just got to listen. Like, put a one in there right now if you listen to all of our episodes, because I'm telling you, these are going to rock your week.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there, make somebody feel important, and make a sale, even if your ass falls off.